Folks, this is Gene on TV. It's been hot here, but it's hot in other places. Tonight we're going to study about Christ, the greatest angel, the angel of the Lord. Perhaps the greatest deception of our time is the myth that science disproves the Bible. You know, as a result of this, multitudes of young Christians and multitudes of people are leaving or don't believe. While the recent world events show the rebellion against God is growing, yet a wealth of scientific evidence exists that affirms the biblical account. This philosophy of evolution must be challenged. It's time for Christians to take a stand, do our part of claiming Creator's evidence through the various science skeptics use to deny Him. You know, the living and the written Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, I take all my philosophy now. You know, I've been a businessman, a preacher, and I've been a CEO of three or four different corporations. But my whole life is surrounded now with God, because it's the greatest truth that ever was. The Holy Scriptures and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ are so inseparably bound together that whatever calls into question the integrity and authority of one correspondingly question the integrity and operations on the other. Let us not be guilty of saying that the written Word and the incarnate Word in all aspects are the same. What do you mean by incarnate Word? All you people who like spirits and this. The incarnate Word means a spirit or deity that becomes human. So you could write this, you could read it this way. Let us not be guilty of saying the written Word and the deity becomes flesh, human flesh, are in all aspects of the same. But the Bible does clearly reveal Christ as the Word made flesh, dwelt among us. In other words, He was here on earth and He walked to and fro on the earth. In a carefully worded argument, Christ time and again called attention to the fact, teaching of the Old Testament scriptures. What do you mean by Old Testament? That was a word that was written by the scribes before the death of Christ and before the birth of Christ. And the New Testament is the life of Christ and the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And the dogma that tells the end of time and how it will be held are given. You know, there's 66 books in the Holy Bible. And some don't believe it. Some question it. Some say it's just words. But never has there been an error found in it, a factual error. 66 books written by about 40 different authors over a period of 2,000 years. And they lay truth upon truth, and not an error is found. Prophecies that came to being 500 years after they were told. Nothing can absolve the written Word has become flesh. search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are that testify of me. For had you believed in Moses, probably believed in Christ, because they all point to him. Therefore, those who diligently search the scriptures and find in them sufficient testimony to Christ. And where there is faith in the witness of the scriptures, there will be faith in Christ. And will not even be he convinced by his miraculous resurrection from the dead. Christ claimed that all scriptures point to him. Incarnate word. Spirit or deity that has become flesh. On the road to Emmaus, he taught that all three popular divisions of the Old Testament trace one progressively messianic revelation. They all pointed to Christ. To understand the New Testament, we must know the Old. For both tell the same story, each amplifying the other, that are forever inseparable. 39 books in the Old Testament all point to Christ. Some have startling revelation of prophecy that came to life 500 and 600 years after it was printed. Perhaps the greatest deception of our time is the myth that disproves the Bible. How can we say, or how can you say, or anyone say, that the Bible is not real? When if I give you a prophecy tonight, it doesn't come true, or it does come true, you're excited. But these same prophecies are found in the Bible. They were told hundreds of years, or 1 month, before they happened, but they were prophesied, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, the Bible teaches us that Christ lives within us. What a gracious thought. What a gracious thing to say. What a gracious way to be. I know that Christ lives in me. Can I go and stop freight trains and cars and airplanes and all that? No, it's not that. It's he lives in me, the hope of glory. And one day, he will come back. He'll take me home. This body means nothing because, you know, all of us have an appointed time to die. But when I die, I know that I will go to glory in my soul and spirit, and I'll live with Christ forever. What a gracious thing to believe. But the Bible teaches that inseparable, holy Bible that no one can find errors in. Yes, it was written by human hand, but they were borne along by the winds of the Holy Spirit, and the words were correct. Christ does indeed live in each believer and feels and controls as allowed by the individual. In other words, you must allow him to control. You must give him the reins. He provides a certain hope of glory. We have assurance of our salvation, adoption, grace, spirit-filled life, and eternal glory as we are in Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Hallelujah, that's great. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Faith, great word. you see a chair and you want to sit down, you don't even think about whether it holds or not. And you know it does. You have faith in it, that the chair will hold you, so you sit in it. You know, when I die, this mortal death that I live, because I know I will one day, I have faith that Christ will receive me home. And I live eternally in the glories of heaven. Scripture specifically teaches that God loves sinners as they are and moves as a gracious friend to pay the penalty for sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God is perfect. If you shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The words believe and receive, while not the same, can often be used as interchangeable in the scriptures. Once we truly believe, we can receive him. For when we believe, we simultaneously receive God and forgiveness for salvation. And we can affirm, I am his and he is mine. His sweet friendship will last for all time. So what have I said? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall have everlasting life. What a great promise. Tonight, or this evening, or this afternoon, if you believe in Christ and what he has done, in your heart you believe, and you have faith that he will save you, you can be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whosoever shall believe in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. And that's what I'll leave you with this evening. Believe. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he comes and resides with you. Study the Bible, receive his word, believe in your heart, believe his death, the satisfactory of your death, and you're going to have eternal life. That I leave with you. Folks, Christ is coming back in bodily form. Prophecies, I love to talk to you about prophecies and all that. But first of all, you must be saved. How you do that? You believe in your heart that his death is your death. You don't have to die, and your soul will go to heaven. 865-803-7334. You can text me. You can write me. I'm on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. Until we meet again every Tuesday, God bless you and stand firm. Good night.